Okay. We are tonight on April 21st. Tonight is Chaf Hei Nisan, back in the swings after Yontif. Even though we're still going to be talking about things about Yontif, tonight we're going to be speaking about a small little point which comes out of the sugya of sharpening knives. Also a relevant topic because, at least in the past, Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus used to always frequent the New York City area around this time of the year, either around Pesach time or a little bit, I remember when you were around graduation time. And, you know, what's a circus without knife throwers and knife sharpeners? Of course, the circus isn't around anymore, but the Torah endures even beyond P.T. Barnum. The issue we're going to be speaking about comes up within the topic of Halacha Ve'ein Morim came. Just to basically just point out, just to give a little bit of a background before we get into the Gemara just mentions Ein Mashchizin as Hasakin B'Yontov. You're not allowed to sharpen a knife on Yontov. Aval, right, the reason brought down is because, again, it's Mesakin Kli. Aval, Masiya Al Gabi Chaverta, but you're allowed to rub it on top of another one, and that will, of course, be a little bit different than sharpening it. You're not making a kli, and the Gemara discusses about different havaminas exactly. Is this talking about metals? Is this talking about wood? Is this talking about, you know, removing grease? And aga, by removing grease, you're going to be sharpening. It also gets into a topic the Gemara does about in terms of what is the status of the knife as far as it's able to be used. Is it not being able to be used? And was your sharpening due? But I wanted to just to get to two little stories and an interesting point that comes out of those stories. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rav Nechemiah, Berei de Rav Yosef. So Rav Nechemiah, the son of Rav Yosef, said, we're reading from the bottom of Chaf Chesem and Aleph, says, Havi kamina kamei de Rava. I happen to be by Rava one yontif. I had to come aver de sakina apuma de dekula. What was he doing? He was rubbing a knife on the lip of a basket. Okay, conceivably we weren't talking about, like, you know, a metal basket or something, you know, a basket that was a little bit jagged, a little bit abrasive, which, of course, you know, can do one of two things, right? He could be doing it to clean off hard, solid residue on a knife.
Right.
But also, it can also be used as a kila'achar yad way to sharpening a knife, which, by the way, sharpening a knife comes out to be, falls under the category of machshiri ochel nefesh. It's not actual ochel nefesh, because mochel nefesh is defined by one of the Rishonim as molochos that are directly in contact with the food, right? This is not directly in contact. This is one step, right? It's necessary to help, but it's not necessarily that. And machshiri ochel nefesh is a machlokus about whether, not Gemara, but whether it's mutter and yontif or not. But what we're talking about over here is that he was definitely rubbing the knife on the basket, and there were two definitely ways to understand what he was doing. Either he was doing it because he was trying to sharpen it in a mutter dick away, or he was trying to clean off the knife. The Amri lay, and we said to him, L'chadda ka'avid ma'ar o l'havir shamim to say, you know, mistake number one, don't invite your Talmidim to your house on Yontif, because Talmidim are going to be good Talmidim, and Talmidim are going to ask questions, and that's what they did. And Rava now was forced to answer the question, what is he really doing? Is he doing it to sharpen the knife, or is he doing it to clean the knife? The Amri lay, and he said to me, L'havir shamim nusa. No, I'm doing it to clean it, to take away some of the grease. However, the Gemara says, Nachman said, "Vichazisi ledaite," but I was able to understand. I was able to get and overlook exactly what Rabba was saying, and to really understand from what he was saying is dilechadda kavid. That really, he's sharpening it. So then, why didn't he tell me what to do? Ksavar,
right.
Halacha, v'ein morin kein. Because the halacha is you're really allowed to do it, but we don't tell anybody to do it. Okay? Second story. The Amar Abaye Havikaim the Kamei Demar. Abaye was also by his Rebbe. And the Havikam Aver Sakina Asafasa de Rechaya. So he wasn't using a basket, he was using a millstone, and he was also rubbing the knife off the edge. The Amri Lay, Lechadada Kabai Mar, or Lehaver Shamni Nisa. Are you trying to sharpen it, or are you trying to clean the knife? Amr Lee said to me also, Lahavir Shamni Nusa, I'm trying to remove its grease. And the same thing, Bhazisi Ladaite, I was able to understand from his opinion what he was saying, to lechadada ka'avid, that really he was trying to sharpen, so why didn't he say so? So he said, k'sever halacha ve'in morin kain, is because he felt that this is actually the halacha, but we don't teach it. Now, what does that mean, halacha ve'in morin kain? So, we're going to look at the Rashi, and Rashi's going to tell us the following. Rashi says, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. First of all, the halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, makshir yochan nefesh ha-mutter, and you could do it. However, and mumuta lecholish lasos aval ain more in the rabbim came, but we don't tell the public shelo yizalzalu, so that they won't
make a disgrace from that.
Correct, and they won't go ahead and start treating this like a joke and continue to do this right. And what's the zilzul? Af b'she'ef shar lasos mi ba'od yom, to find a machshir yochal nefesh that could have been done from erev yontif, because the chol hani de sharinon, the things that we permit. Is either because it broke on Yontif, oh, Shahaya Esmal Tarot, or Erev Yontif, you were all busy. But to wait around for Yontif and then to do it on Yontif because you figure, hey, listen, we got it early from Shul the last day of Pesach. We actually did get out of Shul relatively early on the last day of Pesach. You finished Yisuda. Remember, we finished eating, we did a nice Suda, I took a nap, and it was 2:30. I have plenty of time. I could sit there and sharpen all my knives now. It's perfect. Especially now that we have Pesach on standard time. Shavuos for sure.
Right.
So let me go ahead and spend my Yom Tov afternoon going ahead and doing some housework. So that's the reason why we don't go ahead and do this. So it's interesting that Rashi formulates the Isser of Halacha Ein Morin Kain. And Rashi says, Aval Ein Morin the Rabbim Kain. We don't teach this for public. And what does that mean? So Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz says, based on this, right, it means that you don't go ahead and teach it in like a shir, meaning, or you don't write it in a sefer.
But if you go over to the Rebbe individually afterwards
and ask him, right? Then the Chora, it would work that way.
So hypothetically, then, if the Rebbe's teaching the 30 Talmidim in a class, if each time we go one after another individually.
Right. That's the way it sounds like, right? From this understanding of Rashi. Yeah. Except there's one little problem. Who's dealing with in the story? How many people are we dealing with?
We're dealing here with M4 at least. Five.
No, but they're two separate mice, right?
Two separate mice. One person trying to do a person observing, then the person.
We're dealing with individual over here. We're not talking about going up there and publicizing your psak, or putting your psak on the internet, or putting your psak out in the. As a psak.
Right. So why would that be considered a kesar?
Right. So that's a question that they ask, that the Mefarshim ask on this. And that's why when they say halacha v'ein morim kain, it means period to anybody. And when it says rabim, we're not talking about rabim in the sense that everybody is gathered together, but we're talking about the public. When I say you can't tell the public, it could all mean that, you know, I don't tell people in public, but I could also say it means that you don't tell anybody from the public. And that's what halacha ve'in morin kain, meaning if somebody asks Abaye's Rebbe, somebody asks Rava, or somebody asks Rabba, and says, what's the psak?
Right.
You automatically say it's Hasser.
But then why were they themselves able to do it?
So that's one question, right? How are they able to do it? So they're able to do it because the Chorah, there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
We're afraid of Zilzul. So you're afraid of Zilzul, so then you can't do it. But the question is, and this is a question that they ask.
Right.
The question that Mefarshim ask is, wait a second. Then what's it doing in the Gemara? How do they know
right,
about it?
Yeah, right.
I mean, if it's halacha v'ein morim kain,
what's part of the story then?
Yeah, right. Or like how do you know it?
Right.
It's ain morim kain, so nobody should know about it.
Worst kept secret.
Right, the worst kept secret, right? So I saw an answer brought down. It's a Rabbi Sibro who put it together a little leket on this daf, and he quoted down. I believe he's from West Hempstead, and he quoted a Shulchan Aruch Harav. And he said, when it means halacha v'ein morim kain, it means that you're not allowed to do it as a psak. But if you're teaching the halachos in terms of a shir, or you're bringing up a hypothetical case, so you can say what the conclusion is. It just means that you can't give it as a psak halacha. Which means that if somebody would ask you flat out, am I allowed to go ahead and do this or not? My knife broke on Yontif.
Right.
May I sharpen it? The answer is no. But if you're busy learning up the sugi and beitza, And he come and say, well, there's a psal, there's an inyan that, you know, machshiri yochal nefesh that couldn't be done before yontif can be done on yontif with the shinui and stuff like this. For example, you can take a knife and sharpen it on a kli. That's totally fine. Because again, you're not instructing, you're not giving a horah.
But then could someone,
because somebody could understand it. So the answer is, yeah, if somebody could understand it on his own, then that shouldn't be a problem. I mean, for example, if somebody opens up a Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah does list certain cases. They bring this down as one of the cases also. So yeah, it's in there in the Halacha Sefer. So if you're able to open up the Sefer, again, those are the people who we're not so worried about.
Right.
Meaning, somebody who knows Hilchos Yontif, and somebody could open up a Sefer and learn up a Mishnah Berurah, learn up a Sugya. So again, we're not person is not so worried about Zilzel. That's a person who understands the halacha, understands the learning, and he's not going to get away from it. But when we're talking about getting it in the wrong hands, that's the issue. So if somebody's just going to ask you point blank without going through anything, that's the type of thing that we're a little bit more worried about. Not that, again, if somebody asks a shayla, we're worried about necessarily, but in this particular thing there, but if somebody comes to his own conclusion through learning up the sugyas and stuff like that,
right,
and he sees it brought down from somewhere, then he can act upon, he could act upon what he learns. If you learn it in the Mishnah Berurah, you could act upon it. It's just that if somebody would ask you, the Shaila, am I allowed to go ahead and do this? The answer is no. Because again, Halacha Vein Morim Kain really applies to very specific individuals. I saw one instance where we put the Halacha, for example, it's not in this city, they're not in this Indian, but famous Halacha of Habol Aramis Kanai Poginbo. There's also an issue of Halacha Vein Morim Kain. Meaning, we don't ask somebody this and that, but if there's somebody who is so bothered by whatever he sees that he just can't bear it and he's got to come in, so then yes, he can go ahead and do it.
So an interesting way around, I guess, if someone go over to a place that can say, if I was learning the sugya, you know, of X, Y, and Z here, I see that there's a concept here of sharpening. What does Rebbe think about that, you know?
So see the thing. So it's kind of like this, right? So if the posik's a little smart, he can say, well, if I'm posketing for you, then the answer is no, I'm going to tell you can't do it. But if you want to say that it's a good svara, which makes sense, then, you know, maybe, you know. But again, you know, again, what we're talking about, again, somebody, again, who's doing that, is not worrying about being, that's not necessarily the person that we're being mezalzel for a yontif. They tell a story about a person who went to Mozart. I saw this brought down. And he asked him to teach him how to write a concerto.
Yeah.
And Mozart's like, I can't teach you how to write a concerto. He goes, you're not able to, you've been playing long enough. You haven't played long enough to write a concerto. You have to be playing for many, many years. And the guy goes to Mozart, but you wrote a concerto when you were 8. And he goes, I had it inside of me. It's a little bit different. Right, that's Mozart. Meaning Mozart, yes, he can go ahead and do it. Somebody who is on the level, then yeah, then a rabbi and a rava and stuff like that. And you know what? It's interesting because who are they going to? They're going to Abaye and saying, Abaye, halacha vein morim kain.
No, I see. It's right. If I learned something else, I look at it hasn't changed in 2,000 years because you'll have, you know, a Rebbe do something, right? And people are watching his every move. And they'll say, like, is this, you know, permitted or not? They'll say, no, I'm doing this for this. And they'll say, no. And then they're going to infer. To me, there's a problem with inference over here. In other words, Rebbe really said this, but he meant B. Well, we don't know that. If he really meant B, he would have said B.
Right, unless
he said A, unless, but you're inferring B from there.
Unless he
and that's a danger where...
It is. No, it's definitely, it is. You know, you have to be careful with that. You know, it could be that, you know, he was winking. Who knows? But that's, you know, but it has to, right. It has to, obviously, this, you know, Rebbe, you know, one of the things a person has to be extremely careful is when he's being watched is to know that you don't want to do anything to cause people to go off because you cause a mistake. You know, that's one of the things that we always daven in the tefillah of Nechud Ben HaKana, Shalei Kashu Davar HaLacha, right? Shalei Kashu, Shalei Kashu be, right? I shouldn't stumble and I shouldn't cause other people also. So, Bez Hashem, we should continue to learn the halachos, and that's what brought down. You know what? Don't miss a shir because, you know, sometimes you might get the kula that you're looking for. You never know where you're going to hear it, and you snooze, you lose, right? Yeah. Okay.